speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
It is a powerful truth that God has given us through His Word, one that is made for all men, for all ages, and it brings us to the new life by the forgiveness of sins. The Word of God is the Word of life, and it is that plan and pattern for living. It is the expression of God's love for lost mankind. Indeed, it is important then for you and for me to study the Word of God, to handle it correctly. We're instructed, study to show thyself approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Also, we're warned in Matthew 7:15 by our Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, beware of false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. And the Apostle John wrote in 1 John 4 and verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we're to prove all things, hold fast that which is good, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, realizing that all of us are responsible for hearing it and the Word of God preached and obeying it in its purity, in its simplicity. And we can, by that means, purchase to ourselves all that pertains to life and godliness. You know, it is said in Proverbs 23:23, let us buy the truth and sell it not. We've been talking in the last two of our radio broadcasts concerning whether it makes any difference. You know, a lot of people says it doesn't make any difference whether you believe the Bible or whether you do not walk in the Bible, whether you obey it or whether you do not obey it. But we've suggested to you some very strong reasons why we believe it does make a difference. It makes a difference that the Lord gave us the Bible for our guide and that we are to follow it. It makes a difference that we don't walk in the broad way, but in the narrow way, lest we lead ourselves to destruction rather than eternal life. And it does make a difference whether or not we preach the right gospel or not, and that we don't want to be accursed in the eyes of God. It does make a difference whether or not we add to or take from the Word of God, because there is the curse of God upon those who do that, and whether or not we transgress or go onward and abide not in the doctrine of Christ. It makes a difference because the Lord is declared to have all authority in the New Testament and to be the head of the church. And if we think otherwise, then we are the ones who are the losers because of it. But when we tell people it does make a difference what you believe, what you follow, what you obey, they oftentimes say it just doesn't make any difference. So we try to reason with them, my friends, because we don't want them to lose their souls. Does it make a reason, or is it justified reasoning and a difference as to who you are and who you were when you were seeking a wife? Was one just as good as another? Oh, no. You say, I chose the right one. Well, it did make a difference which wife you chose, didn't it? And then when last you called a doctor, was one just as good as another for you? Or did you think that the doctor that was the most qualified would be the one you wanted to do your surgery? It did make a difference, didn't it, friend? Now, when he gave you a dose of medicine, was one dose just as good as another? Would it bother if you went to the druggist to fill your prescription and he decided other ingredients might be just as good as the ingredients the doctor recommended? My friends, not only do you want to have the medication as the doctor gave it, you want to have the exact ingredients as the doctor gave it in the prescription. Well, when you pay the cashier, was one amount just as good as another at the restaurant? When you went into your favorite restaurant, did it matter whose bill you paid? I believe it'd make all the difference in the world in your thinking and mind. And when the realtor handed you the deed for your property, was one deed just as good as another? Did you say, oh, it doesn't matter which deed I receive, just one is as good as another? You say, no, that would be very foolish upon my part. Or when the bank gave you your statement, was one just as good as another? Well, you say, no, sir, I'll have to have my statement with my name on it in harmony with what I've done in the past month. Well, when you want to get into your car, is one just as good as another? If you go out into a parking lot full of cars, do you just pick the one and say it doesn't make any difference? Well, it does make a difference, my friends, completely, whether you're in the car that belongs to you or whether you're in the car that belongs to someone else. Well, when you caught a bus or a train recently, or maybe an airplane, is one just as good as another? You just go down to the gates at the airport and say, well, I'm going to choose by random which gate I want. And do you think you'll be in your right destination? You know it wouldn't happen at the bus station, the train station, or the airport. Well, when Christ shed his blood for his church, is one just as good as another, my friend? I don't believe anyone can think seriously and rationally about these things without thinking, no, the Lord's church, the bride of Christ, purchased with the blood of Christ, is the place I want to be. And it does make a difference. You know, reference is made to the church in several different ways in the Bible. There is a reference to it as the house of God, 1 Timothy 3:15, the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:27, the church, Acts 2:47, the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 16:19. However, there is a rather special way the Bible makes reference to the body of believers, calling it the church. It calls it the bride of Christ. It describes that relationship that's different from all others in the Bible. Here is a closeness, my friends, that is described by the figure of the most intimate relationship known to man. Well, let's get the Bible picture this morning. You know, there is great emphasis placed on the marriage of Christ to His bride. Even in the personal ministry of our Lord, evidently, He used the parable of the 10 virgins to help the Jews to get ready for the coming of the marriage of the church to the Lord. And when they heard, behold, the bridegroom cometh, they all began to prepare, and yet some were not prepared, were they? Matthew 25:1-13. Now, they were talking about the marriage of the church to the Lord. Now, the Apostle Paul uses the figure in his letter also to the church at Ephesus. Listen to him closely as he says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church, and gave Himself for it. So ought men to love their wives, he went further later, as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they, too, shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, he said in Ephesians 5:33, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, my friends, aren't those important passages? I hope you wrote Ephesians 5:22-33 down, because that's important for you to read later. The same apostle, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to the church at Rome, and he states, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is risen from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now that's Romans 7:1-4. Christians are married to Christ, are they not? They make up the body of Christ, do they not? They are His bride. Surely we can all see that. The Apostle John writes concerning the relationship of Christ and the bride, or the church. You know, in his vision of the marriage of Christ to the church, he wrote, as I heard, I heard, as it were a voice of great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, there are the true sayings of God. This is Revelation 19:6-9. Well, let me summate that thought for you, my friends, in the fact that the church is the beautiful bride of the Master, and Christians have the privilege of making up that beautiful bride. Now, what to call that beautiful bride some might have a problem with? We shouldn't have a problem, but sometime we do. Well, obviously, if it is the bride who is to give honor to the bridegroom, the name has to be important, doesn't it? And in the above thoughts that we have referred to today, it's obvious that the Bible shows the ownership of Christ over the church. He is the head. He's the one who purchased that body or that bride, who is the one who has the right to that the blessings of being put first and the ownership that it belongs to him. Well, whatever the bride does, it must have to do with the honor demanded by the bridegroom, doesn't it? The church is the bride of the Lord, and since this is the case, what she calls herself is very important. She's not the bride of Frankenstein or the bride of Moroni. She's the bride not of some human founder or even some system found in by man, but the names that are found in the Scriptures are the references that give honor to the Lord. Now, my friends, as we look at these things, let me just ask you a minute. Does it make any difference what name this bride wears? And is the name of the religious organization to which you belong, does it give honor to the bridegroom, to the Lord? Well, let's look at her purity for a minute. You know, as the bride of Christ, the church must maintain her purity in immorality that is so common in the world today, it has in some cases been allowed to pollute the bride. Well, remember the words of Paul to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 5:27. He said that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, an organization that is not pure cannot be the bride of Christ. It is so important for us to keep the church pure in order to give honor to the bridegroom. Again, we read the words of John, "And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in white linen, clean and white, for the white linen is the righteousness of the saints." Revelation 19 and verse 8. Well, the Apostle Peter writes to Christians, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Now, a little earlier, Peter had quoted Moses when he said in 1 Peter 1:16, "Be ye holy, as I also am holy." The bride of Christ must be pure. Let me stop just a minute, my friends, and ask you the question. Does it make any difference which name the bride wears or whether she is pure? I believe your answer would have to be yes. But then again, they're all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus the bride. That's what he says. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." He also said in Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Now, one must be a part of the bride in order to receive any spiritual blessings, isn't that true? And the providential care of the Lord for his bride, while the answer to prayer is reserved for the bride, as well as the things mentioned. Look at Matthew 6:33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you." Well, let's stop just a moment and ask the question, does it make any difference whether we have all spiritual blessings? And does it make any difference whether we seek those in Christ? Ah, my friends, I believe you can't help but agree with that. But then what about salvation? Well, the Lord will only save his bride. No, somebody said, but I don't think it makes any difference which bride you belong to. Oh, it does, though, doesn't it? Because salvation is shown to us in Ephesians 5 in the fact that he is the Savior of the body, which is like the bride. So the Lord will only save his bride. And since there can be only one bride, only his bride will be saved. Again, notice the words of Paul to the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. "There is one body, there is one spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." And then someone says, "Well, I don't think it makes any difference." My friends, does it make any difference about salvation in the bride of Christ or out? I believe it does, don't you? Well, what about subjection? You know that every wife is to be in subjection to her husband. This, of course, is taught clearly in the book Divine and respected by all men and women who are godly people. Now, this point is not too popular with many circles today. The Bible teaches that the bride, though, is to be subject to the Lord. Again, in Ephesians 5, Paul says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." Ephesians 5 and verse 23. Now, here the apostle uses the principles, and the principle, rather, of the wife being in subjection to her husband to emphasize the fact that the bride of Christ must be in subjection to the Lord. Well, anybody that is not willing to be subject to the Lord cannot be a part of the bride. Is that true? That is true. And therefore does not have any of the blessings that are inherent in that body or in the wonderful blessings of a bride to her husband. Well, let me stop just a moment, my friends, and ask you, what about subjection? Is it important that we subject ourselves to the authority of Christ? Is it going to be any difference in the judgment whether or not we have done so? I believe Jesus makes it clear that it is. Remember, he said, "Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Well, when we talk about calling by name, is it all right to wear another name beside the name of Christ? About purity, would it be all right if we were impure and yet think we were going to be saved anyway? Or whether or not we enjoyed all spiritual blessings in Christ, or if it made any difference whether or not salvation was in Christ or out of Christ? And what about subjection? My friends, the logical conclusion of all of the things that we have said to you today is that if one wants to be pleasing to God and be able to go to heaven when this life is over, he or she must do whatever the Bible teaches that will cause one to be a part of that bride. He's coming back, my friends. He won't have any trouble knowing his bride. Why, have you ever had any trouble identifying your wife when you come to a big shopping center and there's several women coming out all at one time? Do you say, "Well, I'll just take the wife that I want this time. It doesn't make any difference"? You'd better not think that way, had you? You have to choose the one that is identified as your bride, and that is your wife. And my friends, the same is true with the Lord's church. The name by which the bride is called is important. The purity of doctrine is important. Then life is absolutely necessary. Then and only then will one be assured of being a part of the bride, the church of our Lord. And so as we think along this line, does it make any difference? Yes, it does. And we ought to be happy in Christ, shouldn't we? You know, the book of Philippians has been called the Epistle of Joy. Paul wrote in chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice. Also in Philippians 4, 11 through 13, Paul wrote, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am in, therein to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me." Well, how could Paul write about joy, happiness, and contentment when he himself was presently in prison? Now, if you've seen the prisons over in Jerusalem in that area, you know they're below ground. You know they're damp and they're hard to be a part of, no doubt. Also, the church at Philippi, though, had begun to face their persecutions in Acts 16, 1 Thessalonians 2. And Paul knew that Philippi would have to face persecution just like he had done. Paul understood how men could be happy and find contentment even under adverse circumstances by being in Christ, being a part of his bride, giving him the first place in their life. He said in Galatians 2:20, "I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Now, my friends, does it make any difference? I believe our thoughts today draw before our minds that though life was not easy for Paul, may not be easy for us. We can find peace and happiness in Christ Jesus our Lord, which means in the church, which is the bride of Christ, the one that wears his name, the one that enjoys purity as it follows His teaching, the one who has all the spiritual blessings in Christ and salvation by the subjection to His divine and holy will.